You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
It is a Wednesday, which means that it is time, this final hour, for what has very quickly become a popular feature on the show, World of Work. And today we're going to be talking about constructive dismissal. And we have the excellent Natasha Moni with us, a labor relations attorney with Moni Attorneys Incorporated, acting judge of the CCMA, but here as a labor relations expert. Please do feel free to call us. Maybe you're a journalist who has been constructively dismissed by someone demoting you. Maybe you work in the construction sector. Whatever the case might be, I don't know. It is an open line on constructive dismissal, and there's a lot about constructive dismissal that doesn't make sense to me, and I'm sure you're in the same position as the average Joe. How do you prove it? It's often very subtle, like subtle racism, subtle sexism, for example. It's very, very hard when there's no smoking gun to know how you can enforce your labor rights. 011-883-0702. Give us a call in Jersey, Cape Tonians, 021-446-0567. I've never been so happy to see you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in, Natasha.
It's a pleasure.
There's a million and one things. This is, in a sense, constructive dismissal 101. What is it?
It is when the employer makes your working life or your working environment intolerable. And the intolerable circumstances must be of the employer's making. So when people phone me, and hopefully they phone me before they've resigned, the question that I ask them is this: but for, and you'll remember that in criminal law 101, but for the employer's intolerable conduct, would you still resign? And if your answer is yes, then it's not a constructive dismissal. If your answer is no, then it is a constructive dismissal. And that is where I get it. Where I get this from is Uster versus Transnet, which is a very old case. And UCPS, if you don't mind, I know that legalese is not often welcome on radio, but constructive dismissal is so difficult to prove. The success rate for an employee at the CCMA is about 13%. So we need to be quite accurate.
Wow.
When an employee resigns and declares a constructive dismissal. The test, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a lot of case law.
Yeah.
And I hope that your listeners will forgive me. But the case law is easy for you to Google. You use Safley and then the cases that I've named. And you will get the full context of what I'm trying to convey today. The test was reiterated by the Constitutional Court, which said the following: whether the test is an objective one, it is whether the employee brought the contract to an end, and you normally bring a contract to an end by resigning, and whether the reason for the employee's action was that the employer had rendered the prospect of continued employment intolerable. And this I get from Strategic Liquor Services versus Mvumbi.
Okay.
All right. The onus to prove these requirements is on the employee, and that's why it is so difficult. Because you're a layperson.
Yeah.
You've been traumatized by having to resign from a career, a livelihood, your work, which brings in your bread and butter, which supports your family, and sometimes more often your extended family.
That's right.
And you've got no other choice but to resign. And then you come before a commissioner, and you unfortunately have to prove the constructive dismissal. All the employer has to prove is that the working environment and the intolerability that you're complaining of was fair.
So the key word there is obviously, but for the intolerable behavior of my bosses, managers, the company as an institution, I would not have resigned. That leads to an obvious question: what counts as intolerable behavior? Because
Absolutely. Sometimes
Natasha, as my boss, is simply saying, you see, because you're falling short of your KPIs, she's not intolerant for asking me to do my job.
No, it isn't.
So let's be clear practically on how we determine intolerable behavior.
And the next time your boss talks to you about your KPIs, all right, that is the perfect opportunity, if you are aggrieved, if there is something wrong, to chat to your boss about it. If you keep mum and you say nothing, your boss doesn't know. But let's go back to intolerability. Okay, it's defined by case law as sufficient, hostile, harsh, or antagonistic. All right, it's subjective to you, but remember that the test is an objective one. Let me tell you what's not constructive dismissal. It is not constructive dismissal if the employer utters swear words in an environment ordinarily. And you take it in and take it in. And after a few years, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Okay.
And that case I get from Camphor versus Ridgewoods. It is not constructive dismissal if the employer had an affair with the employee's wife. Can you believe it, Eusebius? That is not considered constructive dismissal.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And I get that from Nieland versus Ntabeni, which is a 2016 case. So it's very, very new. It is not constructive dismissal if after sick leave you return to work. All right. How then has the employer made your working environment intolerable? Please remember that. If you are suffering from depression and anxiety during your work, in your work environment, don't go on sick leave and then after you've recovered, resign.
So then let's get to more subtle cases, right? Let's say, for example, I disclose to my employer that I suffer from bipolar disorder. Now they have always hated my guts, but maybe they recognize that I'm useful commercially to the company. So I've been tolerated, but secretly, let's say a manager wished they had a good reason to tell the board to get rid of someone that we all tolerate, but don't really like, but they're kind of useful. Now you can begin to sort of just make it difficult for them in terms of their entitlement to not necessarily, I mean, from a workplace health point of view, right? Now that you know that information about me, every time I might need to go and see a doctor or may go and see my counselor or my psychiatrist, you might find that the manager says, no, sorry, you've exhausted the number of days that you can take off, whatever the case might be. In other words, they are now empowered to slowly to begin to make it difficult for me to balance my personal commitment to my health with the job. And it's not that I'm not performing at work. It's just that I've disclosed with you that I'm dealing with this particular health issue, for example. And sadly, my example is not even hypothetical. I have a colleague who dealt with that at a company in Johannesburg. And that was a key part of the reason why that person was constructively dismissed.
I see where you're coming from. Please understand that if you say right up front, I'm suffering from bipolar, or I have an alcohol problem, I am dealing with it, and the employer still decides to employ you under those circumstances, the employer must do everything in its power to assist you further.
Okay.
However, if you know that you've got bipolar, okay, and you're fiddling around with your medication and some of it's working, some of it's not working,
mm-hmm.
and you do not disclose that to your employer,
mm-hmm.
all right, that's when you have a problem.
Okay.
But again, and this is what the case law that I have read on constructive dismissal says, please tell your employer. Please continue to inform your employer. And if you can't get a good enough answer from someone in your company, go higher until you have no other choice.
Okay, that makes sense. 011-883-0702. Do you think that you are facing intolerable conditions at work that perhaps sounds like what Natasha is describing, but you're not sure? Well, ask her advice. Give us a call in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Let's take a break.
Eusebius McKaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
19 minutes after 11. Let's go to C Point. We've got Mel on the line. Mel, good morning.
Hi there, good morning.
Go ahead, what is your question?
Hi, my question is this. If you are being harassed and victimized and your life at work is being made very, very difficult, would before resigning, would that be considered something like constructive dismissal?
Yes, absolutely. It is the start. And what we need you to do is we need you to set a paper trail in order to prove constructive dismissal at the CCMA or any bargaining council. So, Mel, harassment and victimization is a grievance or a something that you can be aggrieved about. And you need to tell somebody within the organization that this is what's going on. And what is helpful in a CCMA case is the paper trail. Because whilst there may be a lot of support for you in the workplace, believe you me, those employees who remain in the workplace want to stay there. They're not going to be that helpful to you when you call them to try and testify at the CCMA on your behalf. So please set your paper trail. Please make sure that the company understands what you're going through, and if they can resolve it, great. If they can't resolve it, then the question again to you is, but for the intolerable circumstances that you are facing, would you have resigned? Okay?
All right, great. Thanks very much.
Pleasure, Mel. Good luck.
Mel actually took me to exactly the question I was going to ask you about the importance of documentation. And let's just speak to that, because the law can only judge the facts in front of it, and those facts in turn will depend on things that we don't think of doing when we are caught up in the emotion of dealing with the intolerable environment.
Well, that's exactly what attorneys and the legal parameters of running a case entails, and that is evidence. Now, unfortunately for you, when you resign and you declare a constructive dismissal, you are sometimes the only witness. And unfortunately, what happens is that the employer brings a whole lot of witnesses. And that isn't helpful to you. But if you have what we call parole evidence, black and white evidence on paper, photographs, videos, recorded conversations, all right, that makes your case so much stronger.
Emails as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't get this right all the time, but I have had a business coach last year who was just trying to get me to understand the basics. If I have a conversation with Natasha in the corridor as my manager, go to your desk and say, Natasha, I just want to make sure you agree that this is a good summary of what we talked about.
And if I don't reply to you, Eusebius,
then
you know that I've agreed.
Important. Say that again, Natasha.
If I do not reply to you, Eusebius, it's an admission that what you're saying on your email is correct. However, if I turn on and I say, no, we did not have that conversation there. This is what we had, all right? And you do not reply, then the reason why you're not replying is an admission to me.
Yeah.
So let's be alive to the fact that constructive dismissal in its very name means construct your dismissal.
Yes.
Gather the evidence. All right. The CCMA commissioners in the CCMA and in the bargaining council are there to assist you. They've been chosen because they know what social justice is all about. But you've got to put them in the picture. And you can't put them in the picture if you don't have any evidence. All right.
100%. So important. One of the things that impressed myself and Megan when we had the unfortunate but necessary case to deal with Grant Thornton, Johannesburg, was the exceptional granular detail documentation of Narisha Singh. And that made it so much harder for that company to get away with nonsense. They're still trying, but that really helped. Obviously, she's both trained as a lawyer and a forensic expert. As average Joes, we are not. We can be competent at our jobs as a software engineer, as a broadcaster, but you may not be very good even at basic admin. But we can't underscore enough how important that is to help you as the lawyer to help us get justice.
Absolutely. And the great thing about the Narisha Singh Grant Thornton matter, and I happen to be the lead attorney on that. And the reason why I say I'm the lead attorney is because from your great work, Eusebius, we have had many attorneys, psychologists, social media experts, media lawyers come to us to try and assist us in this case. But we've also had other entities like the Gender Commission, the Labor Department. So there's this huge body of people to try and assist Narisha Singh in her matter. Her matter was initially a constructive dismissal matter. But from what has come out of what has happened, and I'm ashamed to say that Grant Thornton still hasn't learnt from their bad behavior previously. What has come out of it is much bigger than her initial constructive dismissal that she had. But she did have a very good case on constructive dismissal. It's just grown bigger and bigger.
Okay, let's go back to the line. Lots of people want to engage you and ask questions. Paul, good morning to you. Welcome to the show. You can speak directly to Natasha.
Good morning, everybody. Let me not waste the time. I was retrenched recently, and then before the retrenchment, there was some combination of events which all led to unfair labor practice and victimization at work. And then I've even raised the grievance, you see, and then the grievance hearing that called the independent guy, labor guy, who came there and proved that I was victimized. Now, when you go to retrenchments, they were using the last in, all those kind on other departments. But when it comes to our departments, when I tried to find out why was I retrenched, the reason was the company is moving into the new operations, which they are introducing. They were just hiding behind. There was no facts, because if they were moving into the new system or new projects, they would have trained people in advance, obviously, to prepare them for the migration. Not so. So that was the reason they gave for the retrenchment, whereas on other departments, it was last in, first out. But in our department, it wasn't like that.
So, Paul, are you retrenched?
Yes.
So, Paul, please do not declare a dispute at the CCMA on constructive dismissal. As I've said to you, the test is on you to prove. You have been retrenched, and it sounds as if you've been unfairly retrenched. So please, and perhaps you have a good case to say that the only reason why you were retrenched and the only reason why the criteria that they used was meant to have been LIFO, but in your case it wasn't, was because you had been victimized. And they wanted to get rid of you because you, again, brought a very important issue to the fore, and they're not ready as a company to deal with it. So, Paul, I don't believe that you have been constructively dismissed. You have been unfairly retrenched. Please go straight to the CCMA and lodge your dispute. And remember, we spoke last time about your Form 711. Paul, you need to fill that out, and you need to serve and file it at the CCMA.
Okay, all the best. Mandla, good morning to you.
Hello.
Hi, Mandla, go ahead.
Yeah, what I want to ask is something that happens, obviously, down the line. I have a situation where a default judgment is, or default award was done by the CCMA.
Okay, hold on, Mandla, the line, speaking of the line is not great there. We're going to have to come back to that one in a second so we can all hear you nice and clearly. Lerato, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Lerato. I just have a question for Natasha. Natasha, I just want to know, like, let's say you're an employee and you embark on a protected strike. You know that you've got the certificate from the CCMA. And then now you guys are on a go slow. Like, it's not just one person. It's like a lot of people embarking on a go slow, and you're working in a call center. And then your line manager decides to suspend you guys without, like, listening or hearing your cries. And then they suspend you with the salary. And then, however, you're based at home, they take away your access card, everything. And then they call you for a suspension or a hearing. And then you've got a certificate, all of you guys, showing that you're embarking on a protected or on a ghost or an industrial strike with a protected certificate from the CCMA. And when you produce that certificate, you know, to the panel, however, the panel still carries on saying that now they're changing their focus, saying, no, you're not performing. You know that you affected production, and that since you're in a call center, you're affecting AUX. And however, it's common to people that when people embark on a go slow, it will actually affect their production, and it will also affect their AUX because they're in a call center. I just want to know, is that unfair or constructive dismissal?
Okay. It's a very good question, Lerato. I want to combine it with the previous question, because I think it gives us an opportunity to also talk about what kinds of wrong cannot be classified as constructive dismissal, even if there are labor wrongs for which remedies exist. If retrenchment processes are not followed correctly, for example, if your right to strike is not being properly respected by your workplace, those are obviously infringements on your rights. But presumably constructive dismissal is not a catch-all phrase. But before we get Natasha to respond to those examples, it's 11:30.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
Natasha, it seems to me like people now think that constructive dismissal means any infringement of my labor rights.
Well, it doesn't. And that's why I said the success rate is 13% at the CCMA. That is very, very low. The CCMA, the Labour Court, the Labour Appeal Court, the Constitutional Court, the Supreme Court of Appeal have said you need to act on the other remedies first. And so the catch-all phrase here for you, if you're considering whether you have been constructively dismissed, is, are there any other remedies that I can use before I resign? And if there are other remedies, for instance, you are demoted, all right, go to the CCMA and say that there has been an unfair labor practice declare an unfair labor practice dispute. If that doesn't work, then you have a chance to resign. But please don't think that that is the only remedy that you have, because the law has said it is not. And the constructive dismissal is almost ring-fenced for when you don't have any other choice, when the employer has not come, has not heard you, and there's nothing else that you can do. There's no movement. In other words, you're in a corner, and you don't know how else to get out of it. Let me give you an example, and this is a grievance that I sat many, many years ago. The employee had to put drops in her eyes to stop her from crying at every single weekly meeting, because her female boss used to attack her specifically and victimize her specifically in front of everybody. This employee also slept in her car during every break that she could get, because she was so overworked and so tired that she didn't have the time to go to her home and sleep before she had to be back at work. For me, and the company wasn't hearing her, for me, that is good enough reason to declare a constructive dismissal.
Okay. Mandla, hello.
Hi. I'd like to ask, what happens, let's say there is a default award being done against the employer, and 6 months down the line, they pay over to the sheriff, but the sheriff refuses to pay over the award because there is a pending application or rescission of application that's been pending forever. What then happens? Does the sheriff have the right to withhold the award indefinitely?
You know, the sheriff, and let me quickly answer this because it's not on point, but the sheriff holds on to the money that is paid to him in trust. If the company does rescind the award, and or if the company has not been successful in the rescission and wants to review the award, but herein lies the rub, and you need to find out from the sheriff, because now the law has changed. When an employer wants to review an award and the award says compensation, the employer has to put 12 months worth of compensation up into a trust account before they get, before they're able to go into the labor court. And if you've been awarded retrospective reinstatement, then the employer has to put up 2 years of compensation before they can go to the labor court. So please find out about the sheriff. The sheriff is in an invidious position. It's not on your side. It's not on the employer's side. Okay. It has to do what the law dictates to it to do. So please don't attack the sheriff, but find out from him what is actually going on. And then I would go back to the CCMA, because the CCMA is very good at collecting money on behalf of the employees. Go back to the CCMA, find out from them what's going on, and then maybe visit the Labour Court and see whether or not your matter is actually in the Labour Court and you don't know about it.
Mm. Okay, let's take a final call. Kevin, good morning. Hello, Kevin.
Hi there, Eusebius. Thanks for taking my call. I have a situation currently at work, and where our company is basically, it's based in terms of divisions. And I was previously an exco member on that division. Now, recently in the last 6 months, there was a change of CEO and a subsequent falling out in terms of, it was cited as being a personality clash. Now, what subsequently happened was that senior management from the company then decided that I needed to then be repositioned within the company to a role that didn't include as much responsibility or stature or standing within the company. And the only thing that was cited was a personality clash. And at the moment, I'm sitting in limbo and I don't know where to go with this. Is it something that's along the lines of constructive dismissal?
Absolutely, so long as it's just a personality clash. If they are complaining about your poor work performance, rather find out about it now and correct it and resolve that before you find out about it at the CCMA. Mm. But again, please complain. All right. And you must complain immediately. There is a case called Bandit versus de Kock, where the labor court judge held that the lady had been sexually harassed, not complained about it. And then when they placed her on poor work performance, then came and complained about it. And the labor court judge turned around and said, there's no causal nexus. I can't link the two together. They're completely separate. All right. So please, 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 again, your paper trail, follow the definitions that I gave you and follow what it is that you need to prove, and you should get it right. I do think that you should lodge some form of grievance and have a meeting with the CEO.
Okay, a final question. I was wondering, once gets to some sort of tribunal, whether we're talking about a judge, for example, or whoever it is that determines whether all the elements are met, how do they go about in terms of weighing up the different factors that have to be proved for constructive dismissal?
I call it a SWOT analysis. I was speaking to my counsel yesterday as we were coming back from Durban from our urgent application, and she calls it another kind of analysis. But for me, it's a SWOT analysis. You need to know your strengths. You need to know your weaknesses. That goes back to your, you know, you need to take the emotion out of it, and you need to be cold, hard, calculating, almost like a surgeon. Go in, do the operation, come out. All right. Mm. You need to know what your opportunities are. Now, your opportunities are to settle, compensation, good references, etc., and your threats. Now, let me tell you the greatest secret, and please hold it very close. You cannot ask for reinstatement once you have proved constructive dismissal, unless the intolerability is gone. Please remember that. Another thing is, and that would be part and parcel of your threats. Mm. Okay. Please also remember that previously, if you resigned immediately, that was an indication of constructive dismissal. But now the courts have become more lenient to you resigning with notice and working that notice.
Okay.
All right.
Mm, makes sense. You've been stunning as always. Thank you so much for making time for us again, Natasha, and staying on longer than we had asked you to, but invaluable help for the public. Natasha is with Moni Attorneys Incorporated. You can also follow them. The Twitter account is @FabLabourLawyer. Natasha, Moni, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.